I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
You know, I love sports, right? And I just love competition, and I love to watch it. I love to cheer for people that have compelling stories. And college sports, and again, I'm 53, so I come from a generation that, you know, there might have been professionalization of it, and it just was illegal or against the rules. And now it's sort of the floodgates are open. College sports, at least on the high end, are really professional sports because people are getting compensated. And that's just the reality of the world we live in. However, I don't totally understand all of it. I know it's really they're trying to regulate more of it because it's kind of been the Wild West the last couple of years with these football-rich schools able to spend it with alums who have a lot of money and want to win. They spend more than others, and that creates a real disparity here. And so there's an effort to kind of level the playing field, but I don't understand a bunch of it. So when I don't understand something, I go to somebody who does. And in the world of like UConn athletics, that's Mike Anthony from CT Insider. And his most recent piece is how UConn athletics is generating money as college sports enters revenue sharing era. And Mike joins us now on Brian and Company. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Doing well. How you doing?
Good. Well, I wouldn't say buckle up.
I'm flattered that you would describe me as someone who understands all this, but that's probably only partially accurate. I certainly try to gain some incremental understanding and explain what I come to an understanding for semi-regularly, but that's about the extent of my capabilities on that front.
I'll restate it. Someone who knows more than me. Someone who knows more than I do is how I'd, and I sort of want to sort of label this segment as like, how does it work? And so I know that there's sort of like an allotment that there can be revenue sharing up to some $20 million plus. UConn is given sort of the department like 18 and change, and they're supposed to raise the rest of it, which I think they have. My first question is, you know, of this like $20 million pool that UConn's going to use, is this basically just all for football and basketball players?
Yeah, it's primarily for the three major high-profile revenue-generating sports: men's basketball, women's basketball, and football. What size of the pieces of pie go in what direction, I don't quite understand yet, but those are the three programs that will benefit certainly the most from revenue sharing.
So a five-star basketball recruit comes in. They offer them a scholarship. Do they lay out at that meeting, like, we'll give you $8 million over two, you know, $8 million over 4 years? I mean, are they, like, getting contract offers?
Yeah, I think that's probably at least loosely accurate. I don't know exactly how all these conversations go down, when they take place, and to what extent they get into specifics at certain times. But, yeah, so these universities and therefore their athletic departments are now in the position to be able to pay players for use of their name, image, and likeness. So assuming that an agreement can be made on that front with particular players, that's how it all comes together. They're essentially employees in that regard.
So this is what I want to ask, because I'll get to the football revenue from other schools in a second, but so does this replace the whole NIL system? Or if you're, you know, down in Auburn or Alabama and some alum owns 50 car washes and he'll pay you an extra, you know, $5 million to do commercials for the car washes, that still happens on top of this money?
Yeah, no, of course. Like, to me, NIL, I always looked at NIL as two, there's two kind of factions of NIL. One is the collective world where money, a bunch of money is pooled together by people looking out for the best interests of the athletic department and is dispersed to the student athletes. The other, to me, was always real NIL, real sponsorships. You know, Paige Beckers gets paid X amount of money to represent Crocs. AZ Fudd gets paid a lot of money to represent her brands. Those are true marketing NIL deals. Those are still obviously going to exist, and the best-known players will continue to profit greatly from their direct relationship with companies who want to give them money to use their name, image, and likeness. But the collective world, if not disintegrating altogether, is going to change dramatically, because there's no need to pool in that manner anymore, because the university can just directly pay these players now.
But wait, can I just interject for a second? But could there hypothetically schools continue with both and then be able to pay more? Or is this eventually just it is actually going to replace those collectives? Because if the collectives were still there and it's non-school money, why would you get rid of them?
Yeah, well, I think the collectives are going to exist in a little bit different form, probably pooling money to direct it in different directions for different needs for programs. Now, this stuff is all fluid. I'll also go back to my initial statement about having only a loose understanding of some of this stuff. I think the players involved also are still getting, I mean, this is all very new as of July 1st having been implemented, right. And people are learning on the fly and putting together plans on the fly. I mean, the first dollars haven't even gone into the checking accounts of these players yet. But I mean, that's a real question how it's all going to look. I think it's something that obviously people who are making these decisions have looked at for a really long time and still have to get a sense for how it's all going to play out. Collectives will exist, yes, but they're definitely taking a little bit different shape and form.
Now, we're talking with Mike Anthony. I want to get to other stuff. Like, I mean, you've written some really good stuff today, including sitting down with a guy we talked to a couple of years back when he first started with the Bananas, Jackson Olson. But I want to – UConn specifically, they're not in a power conference for football, and so their revenue is dwarfed by other schools. How can they stay competitive with those many millions less in revenue?
Well, they can remain competitive with who they need to compete against because they're not having to compete against the Alabamas of the world right now. But they can generate enough money. They can get helped enough on the financial front to remain a competent program at the level they're at, which is a step down. And what you hope UConn football does is continue to represent itself well, win enough, draw enough interest, remain interesting enough to eventually be a major piece of a package that would become attractive to a power conference down the road. Yeah. So UConn football is not going to make nearly as much money as some of these massive programs. Excuse me. They're also not going to need to spend as much money as these massive power programs. What they need to do is be able to spend as much and operate as well or better than the other teams that are
looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart. I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of sharing the same profile that they do right now.
Yeah, I mean, they better do it before Mora retires, because I'm not sure there's many coaches out there who would take that job or could do what he's doing. I don't know him well.
Well, yeah, he's certainly doing a heck of a job. I mean, I'd be reluctant to say no. You know, very few people would take the job. I mean, there are only certain a few hundred of these coaching jobs in America. There's way more coaches than there are head coaching positions, and I don't think you'll ever have a real problem filling a whole Division I head coaching position. But your point's well taken. Like they've done well in 3 years under Mora. The hope and the expectation certainly is that they continue to do well, and they hope to retain him. And he's showing no signs of slowing down. He's not an old guy. He's not a young guy either. I think he had said to me a couple of years back that he hopes and expects UConn to be his last job. Who knows if he continues to do well at UConn, certainly he might have opportunities elsewhere. And he's always been a well-traveled, ambitious, successful guy. So, one season at a time. They're coming off of a good year. There's a lot of positive momentum with that program. And you hope that people become engaged and interested and that UConn keeps winning.
Hey, just real quick, we're out of time, and I think more. I'll talk about it another time. But Jackson Olson, you know, we talked to him a couple of years back when he first signed up with the Bananas. Yeah. I don't know if you went up to Fenway or whatever, but I mean, I can't tell if the whole banana ball stuff has sort of peaked or if it's still emerging. I mean, what was the whole experience in talking to him and dealing with that?
Yeah, I don't know either. I just spoke to him over the phone. Didn't see him in person, and I haven't seen Banana Ball in person. So I tried to paint a picture of it kind of through his description and through what you see online and on TV. It's fascinating what they do. It's the circus of baseball, basically. I'll tell you what, like, you know, I would have interest in checking it out. Why not? It's probably a good time in person.
Yeah, he got a raw deal because of the pandemic. He might have been playing pro ball, but I think it's.
And he's a
great
good guy.
He's
an interesting guy. He's a talented guy on and off the field. You know.
Hey, Mike. Good stuff. Thanks as always. We appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
You got it. Good to be with you. Talk to you soon.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.